Nice. Woo! Oh, man. The pandemic, you know, normally I love to come here every year. In the pandemic last year, none of us were meeting this time last year. And I really missed you all. So it's just so wonderful to be back here and to see all your faces. I'm just going to pray, and then we're going to get into this sermon today. Lord, bring peace to our hearts right now as we sit and prepare ourselves to hear the reading of your word. Lord, you, above all else, know that none of us need another sermon. We've heard so many. What we need is an encounter with you, with your presence. Lord, I pray that today, as we set this time aside to hear from you, to read your scripture in the community of believers, Lord, that something would ignite in all of our hearts. Hope, conviction, excitement, renewed vision, comfort. Lord, would you do what only you can do in this place through these words in your holy name. Amen. Amen. Okay, as Chip said, I'm pastor at Life Vineyard Church, which is only about 15, 20 minutes down the road in Bexley / Columbus, Ohio. And I've been a pastor for a really long time. And I would say if I could have a graph of all of the things that people say, the common things that people say to pastors, on the top of that list would be this statement, "Oh, pastor, I'm just not as close to God as I wish that I was. I'm just, you know, there was a time where I was just so connected with the Lord. I just felt like God and I were just walking together. You know, his thoughts were my thoughts were his thoughts. We were a team. But I just don't feel like I'm there anymore." And most of the time, people say it to me in a way that they just feel disappointed with themselves. They feel like, oh, I've done the wrong thing, or I've stopped doing my devotional in the morning, I stopped reading my word, I stopped worshiping, and now I find myself here. In the words of one of the great hymns of all time, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love." And the truth is, we all wander. And my accent sometimes will not be great for this. So I'm going to say it American once. Wander. Okay? There we go. I can't say it like that ever again. Okay? So when I say wander, you think wander. Okay? There we go. Okay? Deal? Deal. But this is the word I mean when I'm talking about it, okay? There we go. Got it out of the way. But we all wander. All of us go on little adventures in our lives as human beings. I think a lot of times we think that our lives are static, but they're not. They're undulating currents of desires and emotion. There's willful abandon in there, and then there's repentance. We move and we shift, we change our minds, we get distracted by shiny things, pretty things, fun things, right now things. We long to be satisfied, to be indulged, to be entertained. We don't want to be left behind. We all have the FOMO, the fear of missing out. Wandering is in our blood. And I want you to know this sermon today is not meant as a guilt trip. I want it to be one that gives you tools, because all of us wander from time to time. Just like I know every year when I make my New Year's resolutions that I'm probably going to break most of them. But I make them anyway. I'm human and I need grace. I'm prone to wander, and I know that if I am, so are you. So we are going to be talking today about what does it look like to return to the Lord? What are the keys and the elements of us returning? Because we all wander. Point number one. Everybody wanders, but God. Everybody. The verse that I want to read to you today is in Isaiah 53, starting in verse 5. It says here, oh, there it is. Good. Read along. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, he did not open his mouth. Now, if you've ever read the Bible or been around Christians for any length of time, you know we talk about sheep a lot, which is weird. Are sheep holy? I don't know, but the whole Bible has sheep analogies, and we can sometimes over-spiritualize the thought of being a sheep, right? We think about it in these holy terms. But the truth is, there's nothing holy about sheep and shepherds. It was just that was the major industry of the day in biblical times was being a shepherd. It was the normal job that most people knew. Sheep were big business. And so this is what is so amazing about God, is that he always finds a way to communicate with us exactly right where we're at, in the way that makes sense to us. And sheep made sense to the people of the Bible. Now, in Australia, where I grew up, sheep are still big business. We eat sheep. We like sheep. We shepherd sheep. But in America, it's not really appropriate. So it's not like, yeah, I got to go home and look after my sheep, you know? And the thing is, when that is not a part of our regular everyday life, we either romanticize it or we disregard it. And that's the exact wrong thing to do with the living, breathing Word of God. It is supposed to make sense in our context. So I'm going to make a different analogy. Rather than sheep prone to wander, today I'm going to be talking about my three dogs. Because most of you don't have sheep. But I pretty much guarantee you either have a dog or you know people that have a dog. And I have three dogs, and they're idiots. I mean, they just are. There's no redeeming quality. The oldest one has been redeemed because he's 14 and he can't do anything naughty anymore. So he is a saint in the house. But the others, devils. And I feel bad about saying this, but I don't have a lot of love for them because they do very naughty things. And so every time we have to take them out to go to the bathroom, if I just let them out the front door, they're going to run away. They'll just run away. Even though this is the only house they've ever known, this is the land that they've lived on, this is where they're fed and watered and maybe loved, they still are prone to wander. And there's been times, like in the middle of the snow, where I've thought to myself, I'll just let them out and I won't go out there. They're gone. They're racing around the neighborhood. They're all over the place. They're on the road. They're in the other places. And so do you know what I have to do? No matter what time of year, what time of day, I have to go outside with my dogs and I have to stand there and whistle at them and say, oi, as they race around. I have 2 acres. And they still go beyond the boundary of my 2 acres to wherever they can because they know it's naughty and they just get themselves there and they look at me and they're like, and I'm like, come back, come back. And I have to be large and in charge and authoritative. And it's really hard to be large and in charge and authoritative when you're wearing gum boots and you have a bathrobe tucked over your pajamas and you're out there in the middle of the, and you're just like, I look ridiculous. But if I'm not out there, they go. They're prone to wander. And I might not understand the shepherd sheep analogy, but I very much understand the master dog analogy, right? And I don't want to compare all of us to my three dogs. But the truth is, if my dogs don't see me, they go on an adventure. And so do we if we don't see the Lord. God is our shepherd. But we are wandering people. Our nomadic little hearts long to leave our spiritual homes. We have this desire to look and see and find, to pee on other people's lawns. I don't know. With a stubborn need to be the masters of our own destiny. Part of us wants the boundaries that God sets for us. But then we decide we want to move them, push them, break them. Do you know what the most amazing thing about being placed inside of a local church is? That we join the line, an unbroken line of humans that stretch back thousands of years, some faithful, some faithless. We join the list and the line of people that have wandered and returned to God, starting with our very first accounts in Scripture, all the way through the evolution of the church after Jesus went up and the Holy Spirit came down and the church began. Right now in 2021, we get to add our stories to the stories of how humans have interacted with a holy and unchanging God over the ages. Wisdom begs us to look and see. And the first point that I want to make to you today is you are not broken because you are prone to wander. You're not broken. There isn't something wrong with you. The English poet Alexander Pope said it this way: to err is human. You're human. And if you're just now coming to the realization that you're prone to wander, that you're bent to pursue your own desires and not those of God's, congratulations. You just discovered your humanity. Wandering is normal, but sometimes we go too far. Sometimes we can't find our way home. Sometimes we get lost. Just point number two, some of us get lost. Do you ever remember getting lost? I can't believe I'm going to tell this story because Henry and Ivana are sitting in the front row. But many years ago, Angela, their daughter, and myself and two other girls decided to go to DC on a trip. And this was before GPS. This was in the old-fashioned, you just have a map days. And we got lost in DC. For 2 hours, we could not find our hotel. And we're driving around. Angela is getting out, asking every person she meets, like, this is the address, the Grand Hyatt. Where can we find it? Everyone's sending us different directions. We're completely lost. We found ourselves in this neighborhood in D.C. that I found out later they called the self-cleaning oven of D.C., that people didn't go into, but we did. There was burning barrels on the street. There was couches on, like, just sitting out on the roads. And we were like, we are in the wrong part of town. And I remember Angela going to wind the window down to yell out, where's the Grand Hyatt? And I'm like, not in this neighborhood, Angela. No. I'm like, I think we will be dragged from our vehicles if they think we're staying at the Grand Hyatt. We keep driving. And we drove around and around. But that feeling of 2 hours of lostness was so scary. I longed for someone to come and bail me out. sometimes we find ourselves lost. Like, this was through no fault of our own. We just couldn't read a map very well. I mean, maybe that's our fault, but, you know, at the time, we didn't intentionally get lost. But irregardless of the fact that we intended to or not, we found ourselves in an almost scary situation. Sometimes it's dumb luck that you get lost. Other times it's stubbornness. Still other times it's outright rebellion. The pathways to lostness are many, paved with unforgiveness and bitterness, with cynicism and regret. I think what hurts me the most as a pastor is there are some people, and maybe here in this place, you got lost through no fault of your own. People you trusted led you into a spiritual wilderness, led you into a desert. Maybe you grew up in a church that put unnecessary restraints on you. Maybe they gave you a picture of the gospel that was broken and flawed, that you couldn't live in. Maybe they put you in a cage and then failed you. The scriptures talk about people like this that put millstones, which are heavy stones, around the necks of children, weighing them down. Some of you have experienced old pastors, maybe in your former churches or growing up or at a Christian school, that abused their positions of leadership. Maybe they were careless, self-serving, or self-interested. They didn't protect you from wolves, and you got lost. God saves his harshest judgments for shepherds such as these. In Ezekiel chapter 34, you can read that on your own time. I'll read a little bit soon here, but he has an entire chapter where he's condemning shepherds like this. I want to read you a passage in Jeremiah chapter 50, starting in verse 6, that says the same thing. Jeremiah chapter 50, there it is, you can read along with me. My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray, turning them away on the mountains. From mountain to hill they are gone. They have forgotten their fold. All who found them have devoured them, and their enemies have said, we are not guilty, for they sinned against the Lord, their habitation of righteousness, the Lord, the hope of their fathers. Listen to me this morning. If you're in this place and you feel lost, I don't want you to feel any guilt or shame for being lost. There's so much shame that comes on our souls when we get lost. And as you see in this scripture, there's going to be plenty of people that are going to blame you or blame other things and make you feel isolated and alone when you feel lost. But wandering and lostness happens to all of us. There will never be a pain-free life, a trouble-free life. There will never be the perfect pastor or the perfect church or the perfect school or the perfect family to grow up in. There's always going to be opportunities for us to lose our way. We can either spend all of our resources on building a huge wall to keep evil out, which I don't recommend, it doesn't work. Or we can teach ourselves how to walk with the Lord no matter where we find ourselves. How do we teach our people, how do we teach ourselves that no matter where we are on the continuum of wandering or lostness, how to find our way home? It's kind of like doing a survival class out in the wilderness. This is how you make fire. This is how you build shelter. This is how you bandage your wounds. This is how you map your position based on the stars. This is your heritage. This is your home. This is who you are. We need to do the same thing as we teach our Christian faith to the people around us, which gets me to point three. We need to learn how to return. If I can say anything about returning, it's this. A lot of times in our Christianity and our Christian walks, we define ourselves by our wandering. Yes, this was the time that I fell away. This was the time that I made a mistake here. This was the time that I forgot. But I believe that we should not be defined by how we wander. We should be defined by how we return. How do we return from our wandering? First off, how we return is based on two things. The first thing, the knowledge that God is always in the seeking business. He is always seeking and saving those who are lost. If you are lost here this morning, or if there's someone in your family that's gotten lost, that's got wandering and that has gone too far and don't know how to come home, you need to know that God is always in the seeking business. He never says too far gone, I'm removing myself from that person. He is actively seeking and knocking and calling their name. That's the first thing that we need to know to return, is that God is always seeking us, that his heart is always for us. And the second thing we need to know is, what does the posture of our heart look like? Is the posture of our heart faced back towards the seeking God, or is it turned away? Have we discounted and talked ourselves out of returning because we can't forgive ourselves? Ezekiel chapter 34 says this, starting in verse 11. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep, and I will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. Pay attention to how many times God says, I'm going to do it. I am going to do it. You serve a God that is in the seeking business. He himself will come after you. He himself will search for you and find you. Jesus is out to get you. But not in the way you think he is. You think he's out to get you to punish you. But he's not. He's out to get you, to find you, because he loves you. And if you're listening this morning, you are not rejected and you are not abandoned by God. You are actually the one he is seeking. God is always in the seeking business. So this is not about you trying to stumble your way through the dark. A few years ago, I went to India. I go to India every year. We have a home there that our church supports, and it's the highlight of my year, truly. One day, we always land at 3 or 4 in the morning in Delhi, and here in America, like, you can't fly in at those hours, but in India, all bets are off. They just have that airport cranking 24/7, so we always land at 3 or 4 in the morning. And we had a hotel near the airport that we were supposed to stay at, but our group was too large and we had to divide into two groups. So I was with the executive pastor and two other lovely ladies in our church. The four of us got in this taxi, gave the man the address. But we got lost. And He didn't know where to go. And as we were getting more and more lost in the back streets of Delhi, panic was starting to rise in all of our hearts. We were laughing at the start. It was funny. But then it wasn't funny. And I could notice my executive pastor, Nick, who doesn't get flustered very often, was starting to panic. And when I saw him start to panic, I thought, oh no. So he's pulling up his GPS with the address and he's saying, we are in the wrong area. And the area we were in, there wasn't even a part on the GPS that had roads drawn on it. It was just a blank space. And I'm like, this is getting worse. And then we started to get chased by wild dogs. And then we ended up, I looked out and there was a big pig. This is in the middle of the night, lying there feeding about 20 piglets. And I'm like, we're going to get robbed. Like, he's driving us into the middle of nowhere and then his buddies are going to come and we're going to get robbed. We ended up, our little taxi crashed into an open sewer. I'm not lying, like this. And the whole thing went up and we're like, and then he said to my executive pastor, you have to help me push this out. And he's like, no. He was like, he's like, I am not standing in poop. And we're like, this is the worst night of our lives. Terrible. Nothing. We're like, we are going to die. So we end up getting the taxi out of the sewer. And this motorcycle man came alongside of us. And he had a helmet on. And I thought, this is it. It's the end. He's going to shoot us dead and steal our money. But he said to the taxi driver in a language I didn't understand, basically said, are you lost? And he said, yeah. And he goes, where do you want to go? He gave them the address and he said, follow me. And I thought, oh my gosh. I mean, death, life, who knows? But we're obviously getting nowhere with this guy. So we put our faith in this motorcycle man that we never saw his face. I'm quite convinced it was an angel. I'm not joking. Quite convinced the Lord sent him. And it took about 20 minutes, but we got to where we were supposed to be. He led us through. It looked like a war zone in Kabul or in Syria. It was that bad of an area. But he led us through, and he got us back to safety and then just took off on his motorcycle. Jesus is even better than the motorbike guy. I mean, that motorbike guy came to save us that night. He saved us in a way that we had no ability to do it for ourselves. The person that we had trusted to take us to the airport failed us, to the hotel, couldn't do it. But this other man came and saved us. You see, we had a choice, though. We could have stayed in the mess, in the literal open sewer, with the pigs and the dogs, out of fear of following the motorcycle guy. We could have stayed there. We had a choice. You see, no matter how much the Lord wants to come and find you, you can stay lost. There's not many things that we get to choose in this life. But one of the things we do get to choose is whether we stay lost or whether we allow Jesus to help us be found. And that all comes down to the posture of our hearts. Because remember I said, the return involves two things. It's the knowledge that God is always seeking us. He is always seeking and saving. But number two, it's the posture of our heart. If you don't want to be sought or saved, if you continually say no to the rescue that God provides, then you will stay lost. Psalm 119 says it best. We're going to start in verse 169. Yes, the psalm's that long. It's ridiculous. But We're going to start in 169. I just want to read it over you today. Listen to this. Let my cry come before you, O God. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my plea come before you. Deliver me according to your word. My lips will pour forth praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue will sing of your word, for your commandments are right. Let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live and praise you, and let your rules keep me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, God, for I have not forgotten your commandments. This right here, this beautiful psalm, shows us what it means to return. The psalmist is saying in this passage, I know I'm lost. Come find me, Jesus. I remember your commandments. I know they are for my good, and I want to be with you. I don't want to do it on my own. I want to return. The quote that I mentioned at the beginning of this message was, to err is human, but it has a second part to it. To err is human, but to forgive, divine. We are human, but we worship a divine God. Our job is not to beat ourselves up about our humanness, but our job is to run straight into the arms of His forgiving divineness. I want you all to close your eyes right now. I believe that there is, in all of your hearts right now, it's either you, yourself, that feels lost and wandering, or there's someone that's come to mind, someone you love, and they're lost. And in this part of the service, I just want to sit and wait and allow the Holy Spirit to do work in each one of your hearts right now. If it's you, if you're the one that's lost, I want you to hear me well this morning. You have a God that is in the seeking business, and He's calling your name. There's nothing that you have done that has made it impossible for Him to find you and to love you. Nothing at all. For Him to turn away from you, to turn His back toward you, would be to deny His very nature. We hear the Lord say over and over again in Ezekiel 34, I myself. He's not sending one of His buddies. He's coming Himself. And if you're in that place today and you feel lost, you can be found today, right now. And the way we do that, there's so many ways to do it. But the easiest way for us here in a church setting like this, with every eye closed, is just to say, I want to be found, and to put your hand up in the air and just say, God, that's me. And if that's you this morning in this place, if you want to be found by God, I just want you to put your hand up and give me a wave. And the Lord will meet you. I see those hands. keep them up. I see those hands too. He sees you. I see that hand too. Yes. Don't be afraid. Lift them up. Say, Lord, I want to be found. Yeah, I see those hands over here. He loves you and he wants to find you.